Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's always the holiday spirit here, and I have a question for you, Mike Golic Jr. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. He always gets nervous when I ask him questions. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the show. Pennzoil Performance Lines. Are you nervous? Like it looked like you're holding your breath because I said I have a holiday question for you.
Yeah, you know what? Holiday question is what I think of, like, the Thanksgiving questions that come up at the dinner table. And you asked me one of those last time when we were on air. And I didn't appreciate being assaulted by the question of do I want kids or not on air. So you can understand if I'm a little worn out by that, Janae.
And your mom was, like, driving on the highway and swerved.
Oh, no, she pulled over and waited for the answer. That's what she did, I'm sure.
My fault. By the way, happy birthday to your sister, Sid.
Happy birthday, Sid the Kid.
Yep,
26 years young today. And my mom would point out engaged to be married. All of those good things. So happy birthday, sis. I think pound for pound, probably the funniest person in my family. It's like a neck and neck tie between her and my brother Jake. So either way, a lot of Sagittarius in the family right here. Dad's birthday was on the 12th. Jake's birthday, my brother, Christmas baby, coming up on the 25th.
Oh, so. Crimma birthday. I love it.
Crimma baby.
The big birthday, you know what I'm saying.
Fun fact, every year since Jake has been born, I strictly wish him a Merry Christmas. I do not say happy birthday.
That is petty, but it is someone else's birthday, and I feel like he does trump all on that holiday. But, hey, it's all fair. Before we get to the whole college football playoffs and what we saw with the rankings, I just wanted to, you know, hit you with this one holiday question before I segue to college football. Real tree or fake tree? Which one do you stand by when it comes to Christmas?
Big fake energy over here. I am a fake boy through and through. I am not here to try and water this tree all the time. Pine needles. In normal years, I'd be traveling a lot. Janae is my excuse. Now I can live in my truth. I'm really just lazy. I have had the same fake tree now for 4 years in the house that I am currently in, and I bring it up from the basement, and I take it down. And this year, I made the exception because Notre Dame is so dang good, and I have an entire tree dedicated to blue and gold ornaments in the front of my house for everyone to see when they come by.
Oh, you made this too easy. Notre Dame, are they fake or not when it comes to the college football playoff rankings at 4? I feel like they're real, but we will unpack all of these things because you are an offensive lineman who played in a pretty big Notre Dame game a couple years ago. So let's do this whole conversation in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
All right, Junior, before we get to my real questions, I first have to establish the fact that we saw the rankings that went 1 through 4, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. And the last two were really interesting for different reasons. Ohio State coming in with 6 wins, and then Notre Dame just getting blown out by Clemson in the ACC championship game gave a lot of room for discussion, especially when it came to the schools at the 5 and 6 slot. Now, before we get to your thoughts on whether Notre Dame is deserving or not, which I feel like everyone sort of knew Notre Dame was going to still be there, but still, the conversation moves forward. I just want to ask you, like, any insight into the Notre Dame-Alabama matchup that is likely to happen, going to happen very soon, that you remember from 2012 when y'all got blown out?
Wow. So, yeah, I'm excited to relive that through the highlights that are going to play over and over again until we get to January 1st. And listen and watch this game on ESPN or ESPN Radio. Very excited for that, to relive one of the most painful days of my life.
It's okay. I got blown out in my final game versus UConn, so I just feel like I'm poking at my own pain.
Gang, respect. Janae, what I would say is this. The best part about that game is it has no bearings on what's going to happen when these two teams play. The way I look at this game is Alabama's going to be the heavy favorites, and deservedly so. They are better across the board. There's more talent on that roster. And saying anything else would be disingenuous to this. Notre Dame is a team that if they play like they did when they first beat Clemson, if you catch them on one of their best days where they can get out early, they capitalize on opportunities, and they get that team in a hole, they've got a chance because they're talented enough everywhere else. And if they can get one of those great Ian Book days, one that was stifled by Brent Venables' defense amongst the rest of that team having issues, this is one where matchup-wise, I think it's different in ways that are interesting when you've got a quarterback that is not mobile in that offense that Notre Dame's defense can cue in on the way that they did when it was DJ Uiagalelei and not Trevor Lawrence under center for them. But they're going to be heavy underdogs, and they should be. I fully expect Alabama versus Clemson part whatever it is in the CFP this year.
No, but I feel like that underdog mentality is actually what works to your favor when preparing against, you know, one of the titans of the game, you know, on the same side when it comes to Alabama. And so that mentality might actually be the best thing for you, even though a lot of people will poke fun at that last matchup. But, you know, big picture here, you know, a lot of people are talking about Notre Dame, and I don't think anyone is sort of saying, hey, you don't deserve, maybe outside of Texas A&M at this point, but Ohio State coming in, you know, ahead of Notre Dame with just 6 wins. Do you feel any weird, you know, any way about that?
Yeah, I want to take a listen to this. Gary Barta, who's the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee, talked about this one, the idea of Ohio State. Number 3, 6 wins, undefeated conference champion, but with a much smaller sample size than anyone else. Was there any issue with that as the committee discussed? Here was Gary Barta.
There's been discussion all along about, you know, you have undefeated Alabama, you have undefeated Ohio State, you have undefeated, I'll go down the line, Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, San Jose State. We knew that that was going to be a problem, and we were addressing it along the way. But in the end, there was not dissension in the room about naming Ohio State in that third spot.
And Chiney, I think coming off conference championship weekend, it would have been wild too. If you were going to include Ohio State at all, which I know a lot of people had some issues with, Dabo Swinney's already taken some clever shots at Ohio State heading into that 2-3 matchup and all this. But once you got down with the idea they were going to be involved in this at all, a team that went undefeated and won their conference championship on that weekend could not be ranked below the team that becomes the first team, Notre Dame, to lose the conference championship for their respective conference and still make the playoff.
And Junior, I know I poke fun at, you know, your pain here when it comes to Notre Dame, but you know, we are really fortunate because you wear, you know, the green and gold, whatever you guys call it, and you are part of the Fighting Irish, and you've had an eye on this team so much so that I've creeped on your IG lives where you're actually talking to the fans during warmups. I feel like overall, right, to settle this here, we feel like 1-4, they got things right.
We did. I think they absolutely got this right this year, Chiney, and I think that's not the issue that I think a lot of people have in a lot of this. I think the issue for Ohio State and a lot of people is bought up in conference politics, is what people believe that these leagues should have done going into the season and all that stuff. I think the real beef in all of this is the way that we saw the smaller schools treated, the way that we saw the Group of Five schools treated, Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, the way that happened the entire year going into this, Chiney, is going to be the reason so many people drive for change going forward. It's going to be the reason why people like Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork talk about the 8-team playoff going forward, because everyone wants their fan base. Everyone wants the school, everyone wants their league to feel involved in this process. And as we go along and see history repeating itself over and over, it just seems like expansion's going to be a lot easier than those other schools all of a sudden being as good as or better than Clemson and Alabama.
And the last question I have, because we're lucky to have you, college football analyst, former Notre Dame lineman who has competed at the highest level when it comes to collegiately. It's been really funny following your Twitter, you know, through your emotions this past weekend. And you did tweet, my mom just threw my phone and it hit me in the lower area. So we're all in pain. What happened?
Well, what happened was I was trying to sit around and watch this game with my parents, people that I trust, people that I thought were going to be a safe space for me in a night where I was worried about this exact thing happening, because I always live in fear of this because I lived it personally in the game you keep referencing. And I had my phone and the charger over there, and I thought, you know what? I'll be brave and I'll check Twitter. I'll face my DMs and my mentions because I'm sure people are lighting me up during the course of this game. And my mom decides to go low with the throw, and all of a sudden this turns into a personal attack right now. So just when you think you know people, you have to remember that sometimes it be your own people that are going to go after you like this.
And then she tried to do that not with your phone but with the TV remote, and then it happened again.
It was just, you know what, as our board op Cliff would say, it was bad John all the way around last night.
Oh, dear.
Saturday night.
That's a super, super bad
tell
John.
Tell your mom I can teach her, like, the passing. You know, like, you know, the dimes? We do that in hoops. So
yeah.
I got her.
Mom, not great throwing and catching there, but great at literally everything else. Best mom in the world. Required, you know, I'm going to make sure I get all of that in right now as I criticize her throwing motion on this stuff. By the way, that was all brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. It's never okay to drive stoned. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high and get a DUI. Now, coming up next, what we saw this weekend outside of my pain in the field for college
I'm
football.
I'm so sorry. It was too easy.
It was too easy. But you know what? So is this. Coming up this weekend, one quarterback came into this weekend feeling pain, why his fan base should feel a lot better coming out of the action. That's all coming up next. Professional tease here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In about 10 minutes, we will talk to one of Mike Golic Jr.'s friends who probably would not tolerate all of the energy I was giving him last segment. So I send my apologies because I was coming at your neck. I was coming at your throat, but you handled it very well as I punched my mic. It's Janae and Golic Jr., no pun intended, on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. Now, before we go back to the city of brotherly love and the quarterback love-hate relationship that is there in Philly right now, it is Monday. It is game day. Monday Night Football kickoff is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Now, we've got the Steelers versus the Bengals, and the Steelers are clearly on a two-game skid after starting the season undefeated. That was a losses to the Washington football team and to the Bills. And now tonight, the Steelers can clinch the AFC North with a win versus the Bengals. Junior, I feel like this is the easiest lob ever, but like, this is a must-win game for the Steelers, right?
Yeah, you can't be out here losing to the Bengals at this point. Now, Janae, they've got one game left this year also, big one against the Browns. Coming up, I believe, in week 16 or 17. That's going to be huge inside that division, but it seems more and more likely that their lot in life is going to be winning the AFC North, but being unable to catch up to Kansas City for that one seed right now, which is huge. Ben Roethlisberger, as we talked so much today about Drew Brees and his body healing up from 11 cracked ribs in this instance, Ben Roethlisberger is still someone who's dealt so much this year, Janae, walking out of games, looking like the walking wounded, giving us that Ben Roethlisberger line that we heard in 2017, maybe I don't got it anymore in all of this. And so I feel like that bye would have been huge for them relative to a younger Kansas City team that doesn't need to be a lead or anything like that. They just need the ball with like 30 seconds left and they're good to go.
So what will you be watching for tonight when it comes specifically to the Steelers outside of Ben Roethlisberger?
I think just offensive execution, Shanae. So much of their issues as they've sort of manufactured a run game through short passes has been drops. I mean, the amount of drops they've had in the back half of the season, I think, has led the league. Deontay Johnson struggled in that regard. And so just getting back to normal, where that was not part of their repertoire when they were undefeated, when you had Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool going out here and competing at the highest level. And so just eliminating those little mistakes, I think, goes a long way in righting the ship on a team that is still very good, that's dealt with a lot of really bad injuries, but can still be one of the better teams in the AFC, provided they just do the little things, the least that's asked of you, to go out there and catch the football in easy situations.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting because a lot of times, you know, we hear it in sports all the time, you want to be undefeated, but sometimes having that character-building loss can help. I don't think they asked for two, but maybe this really helps them sort of see reality and move better for the playoffs. Now, the Monday Night Football preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, with cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And so we will watch and check in on that later tonight. But right now, I feel like the conversation of the day has really been what's happened in Philly, Junior, because, you know, we see a situation where Jalen Hurts does his job. He goes out there, he provides the cliche version of a word, but we love it because it's my team. He sparks the offense. He went 24 for 44 versus the Cardinals for 338 yards, three TDs, rushed for 63 yards, literally everything you want to see from a team that literally, I feel like the fan base just wants to see pride and effort, and a team that actually was meeting the standards of what their expectations were in the NFC East. But now we're in a situation where Carson Wentz has publicly declared, even before that game and before that huge performance by Jalen Hurts, hey, I'm not in this position where I want to be a backup. Where are we now, Junior?
Janae, I think we're in a really interesting junction for this now, because we've talked so much about the money in the room kind of working out the situation, making it seem more than likely that Carson Wentz is going to be back on this roster again next year. But we thought that when it was, all right, you'll go to Jalen for a season that's kind of lost right now, see what you've got in a rookie quarterback. Hopefully he goes out here and shows enough promise to justify using a second-round draft pick on him. And then you beat the Saints. And then played a really close game and a far more statistically productive game through the air against the Arizona Cardinals. And now all of a sudden you're looking up and thinking about, all right, does this guy show enough down the stretch of the season to warrant being your full-time starter next season, or at the very least an open quarterback competition with the guy that you previously thought was your franchise? And like you said, Jalen Hurts doing everything right in this situation. Even when he gets asked about Carson Wentz, who made it clear he's not here to be a backup, Jalen Hurts said, no, Carson's still doing right by me.
A lot of great input from him, from Nate, Coach Press, Marty, Coach Peterson, everybody's working as a collective group to get this thing rolling. So it's great to see everybody pushing and everybody sticking together to try and achieve a common goal and winning. We all want to win.
Chinne Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Ngola Jr. and Chinne Akwumike. And Chinne, this guy's presidential. He always has been. I got to meet him around the Heisman ceremony last year in college, and he just carries himself in a way that makes this unsurprising. But now for the Philadelphia Eagles in this spot where they are at, your hope, I mean, anytime you draft a player, but especially when you use capital on that round, it's not a bad thing if Jalen Hurts goes out here and shows you that he's the starter from here on out right now. It's complicated, and it ends up being money that you probably lit on fire in this situation going towards Carson Wentz's contract. But the worst thing you can do is chase sunk cost at this point in time if he goes out and clearly shows you. What I think is that eventually we're going to see a bit of a correction. Not to say that it's going to go to Jalen Hurts looking like a rookie, but that over the course of this offseason, teams are going to be able to scout Jalen Hurts. Teams are going to be able to look at him, and he's going to have to continue to take steps forward. But if he continues on this path, it's got to be open season going into next year. And if you can get something for Carson Wentz on the open market, then you've got to explore it and explore the idea of maybe bringing someone else in there, because the clean break might be best for everybody involved. But you can let Jalen Hurts down the stretch of the season, who now seems a little more in control of what his future looks like there than we maybe gave him credit for when we thought these were just starts to give your starters some time to see the bigger picture.
Yeah, and speaking of open season, I feel like I've heard your opinion. I've already said that, like, this is the best case scenario. You have competition, even though that is a tough notion for Carson Wentz to sort of wrap his mind around, but he still has that financial capability where he'll be good regardless. I want to toss things to our Philly Stan, my favorite Jean, Cliff, who has been really great, this entire show. He hasn't been emotional. He always reps the 76ers. He always reps the Eagles, even though he did say that he was like, what did you call yourself?
Yeah, Cliff. So explain yourself here, because you said you're not an Eagles fan anymore.
No. I'm an Eagles fan, right? I'm just not a part of the Eagles fan base, if that makes sense. I'm a free thinker. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think for myself. I don't overreact. I have good thoughts and I have good opinions on the Eagles. Eagles fans are irrational, a bit crazy, and a bit fast and loose with this quarterback debacle that we have going on.
So you're like Kyrie Irving in the fact that you don't play with Johns.
You used it.
Or Pons?
You somehow managed to mess up Johns somehow in a sentence that means, like, for a word that means literally anything.
So do you think we're pawns, Cliff? Because
no,
if you're Kyrie.
No. No one's pawns. First of all, I didn't say I was Kyrie. I just said I'm a free-thinking Eagles fan. I'm just no longer part of the Eagles fan base, okay? There's a big difference.
Okay, backpedal.
I'm backpedaling. I think for myself. I'm not irrational.
You claim Philly every second, and then now when it's finally coming to you for Philly, you say I'm actually just a free thinker.
No. I'm an Eagles fan still. I'm just not part of the Eagles fan base.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
That is
All
a
right.
distinction if I have ever heard one right there. You know what? Coming up next, the only person I know who is a bigger fan of their team is Mina Kimes of the Seattle Seahawks. Can she reconcile with this fan behavior? And what does she see for the future of Carson Wentz in Philadelphia now that we've got more of a sample size for Jalen Hurts? We'll get to all that next. Chinne Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
Chinne Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Happy holidays, everybody. Just a few days away now in about 10 minutes as we keep that same energy. Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, just dropped a couple bombs during our show all about player deals, and they actually might be bigger deals than it might actually seem. So stay tuned for that. It's Chinne Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinne Ogumike, Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Shell, Penzo, Performance Lines. And this is perfect timing because right now we are delighted to be joined by ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes on the Shell, Penzo, Performance Line. Penzo synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof? Yeah, it's in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. Now, Mina, before we get to the action on the field, especially tonight, I have to ask you these holiday questions. Are you ready, Mina?
I am ready.
Let's go. I've got two for you. Okay. Fake tree or artificial tree?
I always get real trees. Is there a difference between fake and artificial?
Yeah, I was going to say, Chinne, you asked her fake or fake.
Oh, I was thinking it was like a riddle.
Well, my family's 100% from the field when it comes to fake trees, but you go real tree. Okay. How about this? Number two, Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
So I have always loved Christmas Eve, and it's kind of a cheat for me because my family always lets you open up one present on Christmas Eve. So it's like you get the anticipation and the reward at the same time.
Oh, that's great. Mina Kimes here with us on Chyna and Golic Jr. And our family opens all of our presents, Mina, on Christmas Eve. So that
wow.
We do it just because it's sort of like Christmas Day. We have to get up and go to church super early. So by that time, it's like, well, everyone's tired on their way back. So I totally get that. Thanks for playing with me. And yes, I definitely played myself. And speaking of which, you know, the Jets. I feel like the Jets played themselves.
Hey.
Right? In the words of DJ Khaled, I have to give shout out to Shannon Penn, our producer, who put that out there. But, you know, did the Jets really play themselves by winning and eventually losing out on the number one pick?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because I do think Trevor Lawrence is special. I think drafts are an inexact science. And, I mean, this year, look around. Justin Herbert, a guy a lot of people thought, you know, including myself included, was far from a sure thing, has been nothing short of spectacular, in my opinion. Josh Allen struggled a bit his first 2 years, then came around. Prospects and quarterbacks are... there's no guarantee that any of them will work out. That said, I do think there is this a gap between Trevor Lawrence and the field this season, and I do think it has to be disappointing for Jets fans who have waited for that sure thing at quarterback to feel like they didn't get it. That said, a couple things. One, first of all, it's no guarantee that the Jaguars will lose out. You just never know. No one thought that the Rams had any chance of losing this game. But also, I think the Jets do have the building blocks now to build around either Sam Darnold or the next quarterback. I imagine they're likely to stick with Sam. And if that's the case, they could trade out of that number two overall pick, get a pretty nice haul to add to their existing haul. And their class of 2020 is looking really promising. Left tackle Mekhi Becton, Denzel Mims, wide receiver out of Baylor, both look really good. Quinnen Williams, who was their first-round pick from the year before, has just absolutely bloomed this year. He looked fantastic against the Rams. And the GM who picked them, Joe Douglas, is in place. He picked this year's draft, is in place to pick good head coaches so that we can actually see what we have in Sam Darnold. So not all hope is lost, though I understand why fans are disappointed.
Mina Kimes with us, ESPN NFL analyst. And also, you can check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Great NFL information there. Mina, Jalen Hurts, big game this weekend, albeit in a loss.
Yeah.
And now we've gone from one game sample size, a blip, to what's building towards a trend here. Does any of what you're seeing through two games now with Jalen Hurts change the way that you think the Eagles need to approach this offseason?
Absolutely. You know, I think they have to, at the bare minimum, give Jalen Hurts the opportunity to compete for the starting job. I think whether or not they move on from Carson Wentz will be dictated by what the trade market is for him. I think ideally, if you can get something in return and another team can take him on as kind of a rehabilitation project, that's what you're going to want to do. Now, that doesn't mean Jalen Hurts is a long-term answer at quarterback. It's been two games. But in those two games, he has shown, one, you know, a level of athleticism and poise that sets kind of like a floor for his potential. We don't know where the ceiling is. And two, that he lifts his offense in a way that Carson Wentz was simply incapable of doing. The defense of Wentz all season was that the situation around him was terrible. That hasn't changed with Jalen Hurts. So now you have this kind of control test to see not just who Hurts is, but also who Wentz was. And if I'm Philadelphia, the picture is pretty clear, and you know what you have to do going forward with both of those quarterbacks.
Mina, I have a question about one of the teams that he beat in Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. They lose to the Chiefs, but coming into a game where we saw him wearing a flak jacket that Diana Rossini was hitting with a baseball bat on one of her producers, were you encouraged or discouraged by what you saw from a Saints team dealing with a lot of injuries losing to the defending Super Bowl champs?
I'm encouraged by what I saw on defense and discouraged by what I saw on offense. Now, with the major caveat that Breeze is obviously still banged up, that was pretty disappointing to see, you know, because the defense did enough to keep them in the game. I mean, that's about as good as a performance you're going to see against Patrick Mahomes. They were able to get pressure without blitzing, which is what you want, while leaving a bunch of guys back there in coverage, played a lot of too high, not too dissimilar from what the Raiders did. And as a result, you saw Patrick struggle. Now, it's Patrick Mahomes, so he's never going to struggle over four quarters. But if the Saints were able to string together long drives, and, you know, they got a little bit lucky here and there, they're in that game. Now, the question is, going forward, can Breeze improve down the stretch? Because if he can, I really don't think the Saints team is going to be competitive no matter how good their defense is.
All right, Mina, last one here in the NFC. Mina Kimes with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and Janae Angola Jr. I said that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who managed to rally past a 17-point deficit against the Atlanta Falcons this weekend, are like the Christmas movie Love Actually, in that whatever opinion you have about them is true. You are notorious for lying about movies that you have or haven't seen. So have you seen Love Actually, and do you agree with this take if so?
I have seen Love Actually, and I think you're largely right, although if anyone says it's like a classic piece of cinema, they're wrong, because it's a really dumb movie, but it's very entertaining, so it's a good movie. It's not a good movie, but it's a good movie, you know what I mean? Maybe you are right, actually.
I think it might fit for this iteration.
It's a good movie,
of the
but
Tampa
it's a
Bay
good
Buccaneers.
Movie. Yeah, you're right, Mina.
Exactly. This isn't a good team, but it's a good team.
Good team.
And maybe that'll work. Everyone check out NFL Live, 4 o'clock Eastern here on ESPN, each and every day with Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, Laura Rutledge, Marcus Spears, and more. Check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Mina, thanks for stopping by, and have a Merry Christmas this week, since we won't talk to you.
Bye, guys.
Mina Kimes with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, coming up next, we've talked all day about Christmas, but coming up next, we got to celebrate the winter solstice. We'll see who's getting superpowers next. Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Happy holidays all over here on Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr., Notre Dame offensive lineman. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a really big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit progressivecommercial.com. Now, I feel like I've been naughty today on the show. Wow, you've been nice, Junior, and I feel like that's going to flip. I was naughty when it came to your Notre Dame, you know, resume, okay? Towards the end, I was a little naughty. I'm going to admit that. But hey, our guests today, Junior, were very nice, and I'm talking about Spencer Hall of the SEC Network, the analyst there, and make sure you check out Thinking Out Loud, who gave us the big picture on where we stand when it comes to the college football playoff rankings. And honestly, like, Group of Five, I'm sending you extra love this holiday season, because it seems like they always get the short stick. But maybe now this is a scenario where it forces things to change, but I hold my breath. And we also have to say thank you, Mina Kimes, for joining us most recently. She was very nice today. As I said, artificial versus fake, which is hilarious. But it's sort of the same thing as like good and good being the same word, which we totally ended with. Our own ESPN NFL analyst and also one of the co-hosts of NFL Live, who broke down the implications of the big win by, I've been waiting for this, Sammy and the Jets. Sammy and the Jets got the win. Thank you. That wasn't my best word, but y'all really shook me, because I wanted to sing this holiday and Cliff told me I'm not good enough. Then again, if you guys missed any of the conversations we had, because it's been really fun today, especially on a big, you know, transitional period with the NBA starting tomorrow in sports, make sure you check out our show, ESPN Plus. Pull out your phone. You can rewatch the entire show, or you can listen to our podcast, Janae Angola Jr. Subscribe, rate, review. Show us love in those reviews. We appreciate y'all. That's it.
That is it. That is what we're looking for here right now, because it's the Christmas week. We want to feel good. We want to get everyone on the right track. That's why we put all these nice decorations in here, so you can keep that Christmas energy right
yes,
now.
Yes, big Christmas energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golick Jr.
All right, Janae.
Yeah.
You've had a lot to say today about my alma mater.
I'm sorry.
As you mentioned, you've apologized for those. And so now I'm going to give you a chance to celebrate with us. Because the All-ACC teams came out today. Notre Dame, a member of the ACC this year. First team All-ACC, according to the AP. Notre Dame offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg. Notre Dame offensive guard Aaron Banks. Notre Dame offensive guard Tommy Kramer. Linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who is also the APP ACC Defensive Player of the Year. And first-team All-ACC safety Kyle Hamilton out here. Kyron Williams, Robert Hainsey, Jarrett Patterson, and Nick McLeod, All-ACC second team as well. 1 year, sweeping the thing, doing it. Brian Kelly, ACC Coach of the Year, according to the AP also.
Talk your ish then,
hold
okay?
That.
It's all right. My team is currently number one in the nation. But yeah, that's great. That's really cute. Love it.
Love that. Love that journey for you. How about this one, Chiné? A little fire and brimstone before we get to some celebration in here. Fred Glass, who was the former athletic director at IU, came out here and had some words. IU, one of those teams that felt slighted by the College Football Playoff Committee. He said, I'm not the AD anymore, nor officially affiliated with IU, so I can say what I think. And that is our program, our coach, and our kids got done in by the good old boy Big Ten football power structure. They're influential people who don't want Indiana to be good at football. They're used to coming into our state and poaching our best high school players and counting us as a dub on their schedules. That's why they don't advocate for us. Is there any real doubt we're the second best team in the conference? Look at the polls, even the CFP. Look at the common opponents. To those who are trying to kill a resurgent Indiana football program, I say it's not going to work. You're just putting more logs on the fire. I love Tom Allen, and I love these kids.
Dang. Woo. Energy.
Woo. Heard him.
Stan.
Speaking of energy, though, and she's not here to celebrate right now, but this is a historic day, Chiné. This is a historic weekend in the NFL.
Talk to me.
Because the Buffalo Bills are the AFC East champions for the first time since 1995.
All right.
They have slain the Patriot Giant in this division, and now they stand on the mountaintop. Christine Lisi, Ariel Helwani, friend of the program, ESPN MMA analyst, and noted Buffalo Bills fan. Rejoice and be glad. The day, nay, the season are yours.
Yes, finally. There we go. They can stand in the center, stand in the sun. It just is funny that it didn't make a segment. It was keep that same energy, but I'll digress.
You don't need to bring that up. They are not here to get angry with
Very
us
true.
On
keep
here.
That keep that secret with us, America, okay?
Please. Thank you. Now, Chiné, on the NBA front, we do have some good news as well for a player that took a lot of heat a while ago that you've been excited to share.
All right. I wanted to say it earlier in the show, but this is the right time because it's all about energy. Markelle Fultz, speaking of Cliff and Allen, our Philly people, Markelle Fultz has agreed to a 3-year, $50 million extension with Orlando. And this has been a real long, you know, this was dropped by Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, who's still putting out more deals today. He is not sleeping this holiday. He does not take a holiday off. But this is a big deal. Even though people might say, oh, Markelle Fultz signed a deal, cool. This is a man that not too long ago, people thought he wasn't going to be in the league much longer, you know, after being selected number one in Philly and then finding his way to Orlando. This is someone that a lot of people thought forgot how to shoot and then to, you know, rebound literally and go to Orlando and find his game and find his stride. Really great to see him get 3 years, $50 million. And then OG Anunoby is another success story that just got paid too. I think 4 years over $70 million. So it's a good day for those guys in the NBA.
Love seeing money come out. Love seeing young people go out and change their lives with big dollar amounts. And especially, like you said, what Markelle Fultz have been through there. But, Chiné, we mentioned it is December 21st. It is the winter solstice on here. One, we've talked about superpowers all day. Have you figured out what the superpowers that you are claiming yet?
Yeah, this is not Chiné. This is her hologram that was doing the show today. Right now, Chiné is probably on some island vacation. If you saw her Instagram story, she's probably still there. So Chiné can be in two places at once, clearly.
Do you want to plug your Instagram again so people can look at where Chiné's at?
No, the streets know where it is, so it's okay. I don't need to show it. You know what I mean?
My God. Shameless plug all the way around.
At Chiné, C-H-I, anyway. Okay, that's it.
Check out episode one. The comeback season
Let's
in
go.
The works right now. Plenty more coming up on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz take over for you here now.
Thanks for listening to Chiné and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.